In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. And before I begin the sermon, which I would like to make on Thanksgiving after Holy Communion, I would just like to offer a brief commentary on what has happened in the modern church of Vatican II in the last week. And as you know, the one called Pope Francis, Jorge Bergoglio, passed away. And what was so troubling about his 13 years of wearing that white cassock is almost a never-ending stream of heresies and even blasphemies at times, which resulted in even more loss of faith and morals and even the more normalization of sin. And the cardinals of the Vatican II Church will be electing another pope, but you know, I know that conservative-minded Catholics are hoping for a conservative-minded pope this time, but may I remind you that the problem goes back to Vatican Council II. That's where it really went off the rails. There is clear and unmistakable heresy in the documents of Vatican II. And unless that's acknowledged, then there can really be no true pope, true solutions. So let us pray for the solution that has to be applied, the realization that the problem goes back to the official teachings of Vatican II. It actually even started before that, but you can use that as a good benchmark, Vatican Council II, which ended in 1965. So pray that God will enlighten people, that they will recognize heresy and recognize error when it's taught and not subscribe to it. And it's just been increasing ever since, again, that disaster that happened. So it was truly a triumph of modernism. And remember what Pope St. Pius X said in 1907 with his encyclical on modernism, that modernism is the synthesis of all heresies. Why did he say that? Because it attacks all doctrines. It makes all teachings of the church relativizes everything. You can change whatever you want. That's what modernism is, and we must recognize that terrible evil which attacks the faith so fully, so extensively. So just as I said, I wanted to just offer some brief commentary on that subject. So today is called Mercy Sunday. We see our Lord, we see in the gospel our Lord instituting the sacrament of penance on Easter Sunday, giving the apostles the authorization to forgive sins once people have confessed it to them. Such a beautiful setting. And what amazes me is it was when the apostles most needed forgiveness themselves, having abandoned our Lord in his passion, it's then that Jesus forgives them and says, go and forgive others in this holy sacrament of penance. And then, of course, Thomas wasn't there, and he's denying that our Lord rose from the dead, that he fulfilled the prophecies, and he's also saying to all of his fellow apostles, you're crazy. It didn't happen. So that apostle needed even more forgiveness. And a week after Easter, that's today, he gets that amazing forgiveness, and Jesus even allows him to put his hands into his finger into his wounds, the five wounds represented by the five wax nails in the Paschal candle. So the thought is so much today about God's mercy, celebrating God's mercy, not forgetting that he's also just. He's all just as he is all merciful, but we especially thank him for his mercy, which we've received over and over again. Every single time we repented of sin and asked for forgiveness, we experienced God's mercy. But today is also the last Sunday of the month of April. And April is the month of the Blessed Sacrament. And what I'd like to focus on today is not just how to prepare for communion, because the best way to prepare is by assisting at Mass. You know, pray the prayers in the Missal, the same ones the priest is praying. That is the most excellent way to prepare for Holy Communion. But what about your thanksgiving? I'd like to focus on this today. And you could begin by saying, how do you thank God for an infinite gift? You'd have to give infinite thanks, but we can't. Our time is limited. But it is clear from at least the teaching of one, or at least a few theologians, that our Lord's physical presence remains within us for some 15 minutes. And we should be sure that those 15 minutes are spent in thanksgiving. What are the things we would say to our Lord in thanking him? Well, first of all, adore him. Adore him. And if this is a helpful thought, think of your guardian angel turning towards you after you've received Holy Communion. And adoring our Lord physically present within you. And oh, how your angel, if he could be envious, would envy you. I guess you could say with a holy envy, in no way sinful. He envies you because you get to receive our Lord, all of us, physically. He can never, ever receive Holy Communion. Why? Because an angel doesn't have a body. You have to have a human body to receive Holy Communion. You know, St. John Marie Vianney, when he was receiving Holy Communion for the last time before he died, was weeping. And they asked him why. And he said, because this is my last Holy Communion. He was hoping to go to heaven, and in fact, he did, one of the greatest saints of all time. And yes, he gets to see God face to face, but Holy Communion is something only in this life. Speaking of the angels, what's interesting is St. Thomas Aquinas calls the Holy Eucharist the bread of angels. How is that possible? When they can never receive Holy Communion. But you see, they receive by desire. They receive it spiritually. And if anything, they would teach us how to receive Holy Communion more devoutly, how to treasure each Holy Communion more. That phrase, bread of angels, actually comes from the Old Testament. There was a reference to the manna that fell from heaven, and that was a prefigurement of the Holy Eucharist, that every day while the Israelites were in the desert, this miraculous food fell from heaven, and it was called the bread of angels, just as an analogy. And they always had to gather a double portion on Fridays because the manna would not fall from heaven on the Sabbath. And Saturday was the Sabbath in the Old Testament. No servile work, you see. So they had to gather enough of this miraculous food, this bread of angels by analogy, and have food for both Friday and then, of course, on the Sabbath. So adore our Lord, think of your guardian angel, adore our Lord with your guardian angel, thank him. You could even make a list of all the things you need to thank God for. That's a non-ending list, isn't it? So thanksgiving. It is called a thanksgiving after communion. And then atonement. Tell our Lord how you repent of those things that offend him. When you've offended a friend, you make it a point to express your regret for those things. Those are things we can tell our Lord in our thanksgiving. And then we also have many things to petition him for: spiritual blessings, temporal blessings. Pray for ourselves, pray for our family, pray for our parish, pray for our school, pray for the Catholic Church, pray for the world, pray for people suffering in various ways. So much suffering and pain in the world. Pray for them in your thanksgiving. And then talk to our Lord in your own words. Yes, it's good to read thanksgiving prayers that you'll find in most missals. But you don't want it just to be that, because it'd be like having a friend come over and said, I would like to read you this letter I wrote. Your friend would be taken askance by that. Talk. Say what's on your mind. You have the most personal, private, and special audience with the King of Kings when he's in your heart. And again, for about 15 minutes, the theologian Dominic Prummer writes this. Actually, he quotes St. Alphonsus first. And St. Alphonsus thinks that Thanksgiving should be half an hour, at least in advising those longing for Christian perfection. But for the average person, Dominic Prummer writes, nevertheless, in these days, the confessor ordinarily should insist or require that the faithful and priests truly and fervently render thanks after Holy Communion for 15 minutes, with exception made in cases of necessity when a more brief time is impending. So that 15 minutes of thanksgiving that we make will certainly help us to not take Holy Communion for granted. And sad to say, this can happen. We begin to get used to it. And another theologian, Father Garrigou Lagrange, mentions that story about what happened from the life of St. Philip Neri, and I'll read. People were told how St. Philip Neri had two altar boys carrying lighted candles accompany a lady who left the church immediately after the end of Mass, during which she had received Holy Communion. So she wouldn't even stay for the end of Mass, till the end of Mass, when it was completed. And to teach a lesson, he had two altar boys go, one with a candle, the other one with a bell, and she was embarrassed by that. She said, why are you doing this? Well, Father sent us to go accompany you because of our Lord within you. So the 15 minutes is not that difficult to, it's not difficult to do, especially, for example, today, with both of my priest assistants gone and not a deacon not here, you will accomplish those 15 minutes of thanksgiving quite readily in Mass. But let us just try to be conscientious about it. That's the main thing I would like to just make today, that just treasure, to thank, and to make that time just all the better when we have our blessed Lord within us, not just spiritually through sanctifying grace, but physically. And may we continue to grow in our love for this most blessed sacrament of the altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.